The 8,143rd meeting of the Security Council is called to order. The provisional agenda for this meeting is non-proliferation. The agenda is adopted. In accordance with Rule 37 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite the representative of Germany to participate in this meeting. It is so decided. In accordance with Rule 39 of the Council's Provisional Rules of Procedure, I invite the following briefers to participate in this meeting. Mr. Jeffrey Feltman, Under-Secretary General for Political Affairs, and Her Excellency Ms. Joanne Adamson, Chargé d'Affaires ad interim of the Delegation of the European Union to the United Nations. It is so decided. The Security Council will now begin its consideration of item 2 of the agenda. I wish to draw the attention of Council members to the following documents. S/2017/1009, letter dated 1st of December 2017 from the Security Council facilitator for the implementation of Resolution 2231, addressed to the President of the Security Council. S/2017/1030, the fourth report of the Secretary General on the implementation of the Security Council Resolution 2231, and S/2017/1058, letter dated 15th of December 2017 from the Security Council facilitator for the implementation of Resolution 2231. At this meeting, the Security Council will hear briefings by Mr. Jeffrey Feltman, Under-Secretary General for Political Affairs, Her Excellency Ms. Joanne Adamson, Chargé d'Affaires ad interim of Delegation of the European Union to the United Nations, and Ambassador Sebastiano Cardi, Permanent Representative of Italy in his capacity as Security Council Facilitator for the implementation of Resolution 2231. I now give the floor to Mr. Jeffrey Feltman.
Mr. President, members of the Security Council, ladies and gentlemen, almost 2 years after implementation day of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, we are at a critical crossroads. Today's meeting is an important opportunity to reflect carefully on what has been achieved and the challenges that lay ahead. Since 16 January 2016, the International Atomic Energy Agency has reported to this Council 9 times that Iran is continuing to adhere to its nuclear-related commitments. Against this positive story of JCPOA implementation, on 13 October, the President of the United States decided not to certify to Congress that the suspension of its national sanctions pursuant to the agreement is, and I quote from President Trump's speech, quote, appropriate and proportionate to the specific and verifiable measures taken by Iran with respect to terminating its illicit nuclear program, end quote. This decision has regrettably created considerable uncertainty about the future of the JCPOA. The Secretary General is reassured that the United States, during the recent 7th meeting of the Joint Commission, together with other participants, expressed its continued adherence to its commitments and stressed the need to ensure the full and effective implementation of the agreement in all its parts, in good faith, and in a constructive atmosphere. The support of the Security Council for the agreement is vital to ensure the exclusively peaceful nature of Iran's nuclear program, as well as regional and international stability. The agreement is in the interest of the global nonproliferation regime and of regional and international peace and security. It is also the best way to realize the aspirations of the Iranian people through an opportunity for greater economic engagement with the world. The international community will be following carefully what the participants to the agreement in this Council will do in the coming months and years, and will certainly calibrate its own actions accordingly. For these reasons, the Secretary General encourages the United States to maintain its commitment to the agreement and to consider the broader implications for the region and beyond before taking any further steps. Similarly, he encourages the Islamic Republic of Iran to consider carefully the concerns raised by other JCPOA participants. The Secretary General also encourages the international community to continue to support the full implementation of this historic agreement and welcomes the affirmative statements by numerous other member states in support of the plan. Mr. President, thank you for the opportunity to brief the Security Council on the fourth report of the Secretary General on the implementation of Resolution 2231. This report was submitted to the Council on 8 December 2017, pursuant to Annex B to Resolution 2231 and the note by the President of the Council issued on 16 January 2016, that is S/2016/44. As guided by the Security Council, the report of the Secretary General focuses on the implementation of the provisions contained in Annex B to Resolution 2231. I now turn to the main findings of the fourth report. First, the Secretary General has again not received any report regarding the supply, sale, or transfer to Iran of nuclear-related items undertaken contrary to the provisions of the resolution. Meanwhile, member states are making greater use of the procurement channel. Eight additional nuclear-related proposals were submitted to the Security Council for approval, bringing to 24 the total number of proposals submitted since implementation day. These proposals were processed in accordance with the timelines established by Resolution 2231, with due regard for information security and confidentiality. I wish to take this opportunity to acknowledge once again the excellent cooperation we have with the European External Action Service, especially its coordinator of the Procurement Working Group of the Joint Commission. Second, regarding the implementation of ballistic missile-related provisions, the report reflects official information provided by member states on the launch of the Simorgh space launch vehicle in July 2017 by the Islamic Republic of Iran and on several ballistic missile launches by the Islamic Republic of Iran. In October and November, the Secretariat was requested to travel twice to Saudi Arabia to examine the debris of the ballistic missiles launched at Yanbu and Riyadh on 22 July and 4 November 2017, respectively. Saudi authorities assessed that Iran had a role in manufacturing these missiles used in the July and November attacks. We take note of the information presented in the recent press conference by Ambassador Haley on 14 December and Iranian statements in response. At this time, the Secretariat is not yet in a position to confirm whether those missiles were Iranian Qiyam-1 missiles, a variant of the Scud missile, transferred contrary to Resolution 2231, as assessed by Saudi authorities. However, the report contained preliminary observations indicating that, first, the two missiles had similar features, which suggested a common origin. Two, the missiles contained features that are consistent with missiles of the Scud family. Three, the missiles also had features known to be consistent with the Qiyam-1 missile. And four, one of the missiles bore casting similar to that of an Iranian entity on the list maintained pursuant to Resolution 2231. The Secretariat is still analyzing the information available and will report to the Council in due course. The Secretariat recommended a joint meeting of the committee established pursuant to Resolution 2140 of 2014 and of the 2231 format to be jointly briefed by the panel of experts on Yemen and the Secretariat on their respective findings at the appropriate time. It's important that the Security Council is able to consider this issue holistically and coherently on the basis of all the information available to it. Third, in terms of restrictions on arms-related transfers, the Secretariat was requested to examine the arms and related materials seized by the United States in March 2016. The Secretariat also received information on an unmanned surface vessel, USV, laden with explosives allegedly used against the Saudi-led coalition and had the opportunity to examine parts of its guidance and detonation system. The Secretariat was also requested to examine two unmanned aerial vehicles, UAVs, reportedly recovered in Yemen after implementation day. The Secretariat is confident that close to 900 of the assault rifles seized by the United States are identical to those seized by France, also in March 2016, which the Secretariat had assessed were of Iranian origin and shipped from the Islamic Republic of Iran. The Secretariat is also confident that half of the 200 rocket-propelled grenade launchers had characteristics similar to Iranian-produced RPG launchers. We're still analyzing the remaining weapons found in the shipment and will report back in due course. Secretary could also observe that the guidance and detonation systems of the USV included a computer terminal with dual English Farsi keyboard and characteristics similar to those of Iranian-produced terminals. It was also observed that the detonation system included items identical to items found on board the Doe Adris by the United States in March 2016, and that the electrical cables within the detonation mechanism and in the guidance system bore markings indicating Iranian manufacture. An update will be provided in due course. The Secretary observed that one of the UAVs, which Saudi authorities ascertained was similar to that of the Iranian-made Ababil II, is similar to other drones reportedly seized in Yemen, brought to our attention by the United Arab Emirates. We look forward to the opportunity to examine these other unmanned aerial vehicles in order to independently ascertain their origin. Fourth, the report also highlights the participation of the Defense Industries Organization in another foreign exhibition, the International Aviation and Space Salon, held in the Russian Federation in July 2017. The issue was raised with the Russian Federation, and we were informed that an investigation into the issue found no action inconsistent with Resolution 2231. The Secretary General's report also provides information on additional travels by Major General Qasem Soleimani, noting that the Security Council should call upon the governments of relevant member states to take the necessary steps to ensure the proper implementation of the travel ban and other provisions of Annex B to Resolution 2231. Before concluding, I wish to underline that the Secretariat carefully considered the information that the Islamic Republic of Iran conveyed in its letter dated 28 August 2017, which stated that the Countering America's Adversaries Through Sanctions Act, signed into law on the 2nd of August 2017, violated the terms of paragraphs 3, 4, and 5 of Annex B to Resolution 2231. It is our assessment that this information does not fall within the scope of this report unless guidance to the contrary is provided to us by the Security Council. Mr. President, in closing, I would like to thank His Excellency Ambassador Sebastiano Cardi from Italy for his successful tenure as facilitator for the implementation of Resolution 2231 during this challenging year. I would also like to take this opportunity to wish well to His Excellency Ambassador Karel-Jan Gustaf van Oosterom from the Netherlands, as he will assume the role of facilitator on 1 January 2018, and to assure Ambassador van Oosterom of the Secretariat's full support. Thank you.
I thank Mr. Feldman for his briefing. I now give the floor to Her Excellency, Ms. Joanne Adamson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for giving me the floor. I am honoured to address the Council today again on behalf of Federica Mogherini, High Representative of the Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, in her capacity as the coordinator of the Joint Commission established by the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. First, I would like to thank Secretary General Guterres, as well as Ambassador Sebastiano Cardi, Ambassador of Italy, who is serving as the facilitator for the implementation of UN Security Council Resolution 2231 in 2017, for the excellent cooperation. Let me also express my gratitude to our colleagues in the UN Security Council Affairs Division for their unwavering support and for the excellent cooperation, in particular regarding the running of the procurement channel. I would also like to note my appreciation for their work in the preparation of the latest report of the UN Secretary General on the implementation of UNSC Resolution 2231. Mr. President, as we approach the second anniversary of the JCPOA's implementation day, 16 January 2016, I believe it is correct to say that we are at a critical moment. On the 13th of October, President Trump announced his decision not to certify Iranian compliance with domestic US legislation. We respect this as having taken place in the context of US domestic legislation, but it has created uncertainty regarding the United States' continuing commitment to the JCPOA. In its reactions to this announcement, the EU stressed that it expects full and effective implementation of the agreement by all sides. This view was expressed by High Representative Mogherini, by all 28 foreign ministers and heads of state and government of the 28 EU member states. Since Implementation Day, 7 JCPOA Joint Commission meetings have taken place, chaired by the Secretary General of the European External Action Service on behalf of the HR Vice President, monitoring implementation and providing guidance on a number of implementation issues. The last meeting took place in Vienna on 13th of December 2017, and I am pleased to report that all participants expressed their continued adherence to their respective JCPOA commitments. They stressed the need to ensure its effective implementation in all its parts, in good faith and in a constructive atmosphere. The JCPOA is a key strategic priority not only for European security, but also for regional and global security. While the community of nations faces once again the threat of unchecked nuclear capabilities, the JCPOA has become an example of a peaceful resolution of issues pertaining to the international non-proliferation agenda. An overwhelming number of partners around the world, in Asia, Africa, Latin America, and in the Pacific, have signaled that they share the view that the JCPOA needs to be preserved and fully implemented. The EU fully agrees with the Secretary-General's assessment that it is in the interest of the international community that the JCPOA, this achievement of multilateral diplomacy, overcomes implementation challenges, cementing our collective commitment to diplomacy and dialogue. The JCPOA is working as intended. The IAEA is the only body mandated by the Security Council to undertake the necessary verification and monitoring of Iran's nuclear-related commitments under the JCPOA, has issued 9 reports, the latest on 13 November, confirming that Iran is abiding by its commitments under the deal. Iran's nuclear program is the subject of a strong monitoring, verification, and transparency mechanism. Following the commitments of Iran as a member of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, Iran will have to apply the IAEA Safeguards Agreement and additional protocol forever, which will allow the IAEA to continue monitoring Iranian nuclear activities and provide assurances about the exclusively peaceful nature of the Iranian nuclear program. But while the JCPOA is working, a number of serious issues outside of the deal proper are casting a shadow. The situation in the region has clearly worsened over the past few months, and the EU has repeatedly called upon all parties to de-escalate their current rhetoric and to find a minimum common ground on which to base their neighbourly relations. The EU is closely following developments concerning ballistic missile launches aimed at the territory of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and encourages the Secretariat to seek more information in this regard. I call upon all actors in the region and beyond to do their utmost to contain the current trends towards violence and conflict. What we need, above all, is for all actors to demonstrate their full commitment to finding a peaceful solution to the problems at hand. The EU has a long-standing track record of expressing its concern at the regional military build-up, including Iran's missile programme. The EU has repeatedly called upon Iran to refrain from activities which may deepen mistrust, such as ballistic missile tests, which are inconsistent with UNSCR 2231 and the statements associated with these. The situation in the region, including the issue of ballistic missiles, needs to be addressed as a priority, but outside the JCPOA. Dismantling a nuclear agreement that is working would certainly not put us in a better position to discuss all the rest. The EU stands ready to actively promote and support initiatives to ensure a more stable, peaceful, and secure regional environment. Mr. President, in addition to Iran's nuclear obligations laid out in Annex 1 of the JCPOA and on elements related to sanctions lifting contained in Annex 2, please allow me to also touch upon matters related to Annex 3 of the JCPOA, which covers civil nuclear cooperation. The EU sees this annex as key in the overall balance of the agreement and essential to the overall objective of ensuring the exclusively peaceful nature of the Iranian nuclear programme. The EU is engaging with Iran on the basis of an EU-Iran statement on civil nuclear cooperation adopted in April 2016 in a number of concrete projects focused on nuclear safety and research. Last month, the second EU-Iran high-level seminar on civil nuclear cooperation and governance was held in Isfahan, Iran, building further on the concept that civil nuclear cooperation and the adherence to international norms on nuclear governance have to go hand in hand. While implementing projects on the ground and conducting research, Iran is also making steps towards its accession to the International Nuclear Regulatory Framework. These steps need to be encouraged and supported further. Mr. President, I will now focus on the reporting related to Annex B of UNSCR 2231, in particular on the work of the Procurement Working Group, responsible for reviewing proposals by states seeking to engage in activities with Iran that offer nuclear and non-nuclear civilian end uses. Since implementation day, the Procurement Working Group, which is comprised of the E3+3 and Iran representatives, and coordinated by a delegated coordinator of the EU High Representative, has been in full operation. Setting up this new authorization mechanism after a long prohibition period was not an easy task. Following outreach efforts and as a demonstration that this mechanism works, the number of states interested in transfers to Iran has increased, as has the number of countries submitting proposals. Transparency has been one of our guiding principles during the negotiations and a cornerstone of the JCPOA. According to paragraph 610 of the JCPOA, Annex 4, the Joint Commission reports to the Security Council every 6 months on the status of the Procurement Working Group's decisions and on any implementation issues. In this context, on 1 December 2017, the coordinator of the Procurement Working Group submitted to the facilitator, on behalf of the Joint Commission, its fourth biannual report. This report aims to provide the facilitator and UN Security Council members with an overview of the work undertaken by the Procurement Working Group from the 13th of June to the 30th of November 2017. The report has been circulated as a document of the Security Council S-2017-1009. During this period, the Procurement Working Group has continued to work intensively to further develop and update the group's operational modalities. It has also intensified efforts to be as transparent as possible without compromising confidentiality by reaching out to UN member states and promoting a better understanding of its aims, objectives, and its review process embedded in the JCPOA's multi-layered system of checks and balances. In addition, it is important to underline that the proper functioning of the procurement channel needs to be ensured. Proposals need to be judged based on their technical merits, as the aim of the procurement channel is to support the transfer of sensitive goods to Iran while ensuring that they cannot be misused. The procurement channel is ready to receive more proposals for transfers, and we are ready to further support countries and authorities interested in such transfers. To this end, our outreach efforts will continue, together with colleagues from the UN Security Council Secretariat and the facilitator. Mr. President, let me conclude by calling upon all parties to remain committed to the full implementation of the JCPOA in good faith, as well as to Resolution 2231 in all its dimensions. The very same values embodied by the United Nations community are the building blocks of the JCPOA, which has allowed us to tackle a nuclear proliferation issue in a peaceful way. We need to continue to build on this achievement of multilateral diplomacy, which is the best hope for security and stability in the region. As ever, the coordinator of the Joint Commission stands ready to work with UN bodies and member states in order to support the objectives of the JCPOA. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank Her Excellency Ms. Joanne Adamson for her briefing. I now give the floor to Ambassador Sebastiano Caldi.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you especially for calling this meeting. And my thanks also go to USG Mr. Jeff Feltman and Ambassador Joanne Adamson for their briefings. Today, Mr. President, I will touch on three aspects of my report for the 16 June 2017 through 15 December 2017 period. First, on the activities of the Council in the 2231 format. Second, on monitoring of the implementation of Resolution 2231, and three, on developments in the procurement channel. And of course, the full version of the report has been circulated to Council members and has been issued under the symbol S/2017/1058. On 23rd of June and 13 December, the Security Council met in the 2231 format to review the findings and recommendations contained in the third and fourth reports of the Secretary-General on the implementation of Resolution 2231. On 14 July, I held an open technical briefing to inform Member States on the implementation of Resolution 2231 and to enhance their understanding of the opportunities and obligations inherent to it. The coordinator of the Procurement Working Group of the Joint Commission and the Secretariat also participated in the briefing. On 8 September, the Security Council held a meeting in the 2231 format to discuss the 27th of July 2017 Simorgh Space Launch Vehicle, launched by the Islamic Republic of Iran, and the various letters addressed to the Security Council in this regard. I will summarize our discussion in the second part of my presentation. In line with paragraph 4 of the resolution, in August and November 2017, the International Atomic Energy Agency Director General submitted two quarterly reports on verification and monitoring activities. In both quarterly reports, the agency affirmed that the Islamic Republic of Iran has not pursued construction of the existing Arak heavy water research reactor based on its original design, has no more than 130 metric tons of heavy water, has no more than 5,060 centrifuges that have remained installed in 30 cascade at Natanz, has not enriched uranium above 3.67% U-235, has not conducted any any uranium enrichment or related research and development activities at Fordow, and that there has not been any nuclear material at the plant. In its November 2017 report, the agency confirmed that it continued its evaluations regarding the absence of undeclared nuclear material and activities for the Islamic Republic of Iran, including through the conduct of complementary accesses under the additional protocol to all the sites and locations in the Islamic Republic of Iran, which it needed to visit. Mr. President, on 8 September 2017, during a meeting in the 2231 format, the Security Council considered the Simorgh Space Launch Vehicle launch by Iran of 27 July 2017. The meeting's discussion evinced various views. Some representatives considered the launch inconsistent with Resolution 2231, since the technology used was similar to that of a ballistic missile, and the Simorgh, if configured as a missile, was inherently capable, and I quote, inherently capable, of delivering nuclear weapons. Other member states noted that the Simorgh was not designed to and could not be modified to deliver nuclear weapons, and that the language in Resolution 2231 contained a call to refrain from, but not a ban on ballistic activities. During the reporting period, three member states sent communications to the Security Council alleging transfer and activities by Iran that fall under the restrictions provided for by Resolution 2231. They are listed in detail in my report, together with all replies received from the Iranian mission to the United Nations. Since implementation day, a total of 24 proposals to participate in or permit the activities set forth in paragraph 2 of Annex B to Resolution 2231 have been submitted to the Security Council by four members, states from three different regional groups, including states that are not participants in the JCPOA. The continuous submission of nuclear-related proposals to the Security Council shows a steady confidence of member states in the procurement channel. I am also pleased to note that, on average, the proposals were processed through the procurement channel in fewer than 49 days. On 1st of August, the Security Council updated the list of items, materials, equipments, goods, and technology whose supply, sale, or transfer to Iran require approval in advance on a case-by-case basis by the Security Council, in accordance with paragraph 2 of Annex B to Resolution 2231. Mr. President, as we approach 2 years since Implementation Day, transparency, practical guidance, and outreach remain a priority. In this regard, the open briefing for Member States on the implementation of Resolution 2231, held on 14 July 2017, was one of the many efforts to raise awareness with a focus on the procurement channel. Finally, Mr. President, since this is my third and last report on the implementation of Resolution 2231, and of course I'm approaching the end of the my annual mandate as Security Council facilitator, allow me to conclude by saying that I'm confident that the international community will continue to act in line with paragraph 2 of Resolution 2231, which call upon all member states, regional organizations, and international organizations to take such actions as may be appropriate to support the implementation of the JCPOA. I thank you, Mr. President.
I thank Ambassador Kaldi for his briefing. I now give the floor to those council members who wish to make statements. I give the floor to the representative of the United States.
Thank you, Mr. President. This discussion couldn't come at a better time. There were reports this morning that the Houthi militants in Yemen have fired yet another missile into Saudi Arabia. According to the Houthis themselves, it was targeted at a meeting of Saudi leaders in Riyadh, in an area crowded with government offices. Thankfully, the missile was intercepted before it could hit its intended target. But the very fact of this attack is a flashing red siren for this council. This is not the first time the Houthis have fired missiles at civilians in a G20 country. And unless we act, it won't be the last. While we don't yet have sufficient insight into this particular attack, it bears all the hallmarks of previous attacks using Iranian-provided weapons. It is only a matter of time before one of these missiles hits the target. If we don't do something, we will miss the opportunity to prevent further violence from Iran. This is the Secretary General's fourth report on the Iranian regime's lack of full compliance with Resolution 2231. And it is the most damning report yet. This report makes the case that Iran is illegally transferring weapons. I know many member states put a lot of effort into the nuclear agreement with Iran. But that should not allow us to look the other way at the very serious non-nuclear items like sales of arms, ballistic missile testing, and support for terrorism. This report was compiled before the latest attacks, but points to evidence of the Iranian origin of missiles fired from Yemen into Saudi Arabia this year. It notes that arms seized by the United States from a ship in the Gulf of Oman were identical to those previously seized by France, which the UN had concluded were of Iranian origin. The report describes a dual English-Farsi keyboard that was part of the guidance system of an unmanned surface vehicle used against the Saudi coalition in Yemen. That was just one of several pieces of evidence that points to the Iranian manufacture of the detonation and guidance systems of the weapon. There is plenty more. The United States and our partners went to great lengths to support the Secretary General's investigation. We shared our intelligence, and we insisted on the use of the highest standards of evidence and methodology. So we welcome this report and the evidence it presents. To build on its conclusions, the United States took the extraordinary step of revealing, in a public setting, military equipment recovered directly from military attacks on our partners in the region. Last week, we put this information on display in Washington. Nearly a dozen countries have sent delegations to see it. Members of Congress are now viewing it. We invite the entire Security Council to visit this massive and compelling display of information about Iran's violations. The material speaks for itself. The evidence is undeniable. The Secretary General's report refers to debris from missiles fired by Houthi militants from Yemen into Saudi Arabia in July and November of this year. The inventory at the warehouse in Washington removes any shred of doubt that the missiles are from Iran. The missile debris recovered in Saudi Arabia came from the Guillaume missiles. We have multiple indicators, everything from lack of tail fins at the base of the missile, which only Iranian missiles lack, to the logo of an Iranian defense manufacturer stamped on the side. That these missiles were transferred from Iran and fired by a group of militants should gravely concern us. But the November 4, 2017 missile's intended target should concern us even more. The target was the civilian airport in Riyadh. Hundreds of innocent civilians could have been killed. Just imagine if this had been JFK or Paris or Brussels. The warehouse also contains material from Iranian-manufactured anti-tank guided missiles, which the Houthis have used to destroy buildings. An unmanned aerial vehicle known as a kamikaze drone, and material from a Shark 33 explosive boat. Those boats have a warhead inside them that has blown 6 feet wide holes in the sides of ships, killing and injuring numerous personnel. All of these weapons, recovered from attacks and planned attacks on a G20 country, were made by Iranian weapons industries tied to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. We have made this information public because Iran's destabilizing behavior is only growing. It will continue to grow unless we raise the cost of defying the international community. International peace and security depend on us working together to expose and hold accountable the Iranian regime's hostile actions. The United States will continue to share what we know with the United Nations and other parties to combat this threat. But the effort of one nation is not enough. We must all act cooperatively to expose the crimes of the Tehran regime and do whatever is needed to make sure they get the message. If we do not, then Iran will bring the world deeper into a broadening regional conflict. Based on the violations of the Secretary General's report, there are a few options that we can use to put pressure on Iran to adjust their behavior. The Security Council could strengthen the provisions of Resolution 2231. We could adopt a new resolution that makes clear that Iran is prohibited from all activities related to ballistic missiles. We could explore sanctions on Iran in response to its clear violations of the Yemen arms embargo. We could hold the IRGC accountable for its violations of numerous Security Council resolutions. In the coming days, we will continue to explore those options and others with our colleagues. We must speak with one voice in dealing with the Iranian threats to peace. While we do so, we must also make it clear, as I do now, that the Iranian people are not the problem. The Iranian people are victims of their own government. I want to add a final point about the nuclear deal, the JCPOA. The Secretary General's report devotes considerable space to Iranian compliance with the nuclear deal. While the JCPOA itself was not intended to directly address Iran's non-nuclear behavior, we must all recognize that Resolution 2231 does address such behavior, and that is made clear in the Secretary General's report. While the United States continues to uphold its commitments under the JCPOA, the international community must also demand full implementation of Resolution 2231 by responding to Iran's dangerous violations. We must not allow ourselves to be held hostage to the nuclear agreement or treat Iran any different than we would any other country violating a resolution. Today, based on the UN report, we have an opportunity to confront the Iranian regime for its actions that are clearly in violation of Security Council resolutions. The international community must demonstrate that we are committed to ensuring accountability for the full spectrum of Iran's malign behavior. The Security Council must follow through on the violations listed in the Secretary General's report. I thank you.
I thank the representative of the United States for her statement. I now give the floor to the representative of Egypt.
Mr. Rais.
Mr. President, allow me at the outset to express my appreciation to Undersecretary General Mr. Feltman for his valuable briefing. The delegation of Egypt has considered with great interest the fourth report of the Secretary General on the implementation of Security Council Resolution 2231. Egypt reiterates the need for the Security Council to continue to undertake its responsibilities in closely following the implementation of Resolution 2231 in a comprehensive manner that ensures Iran's compliance with its commitments, whether in relation to nuclear non-proliferation or in the other areas covered in the aforementioned resolution. It is also necessary for the Council to carefully follow the consistency of Iran's policies and behavior with the various other Security Council resolutions related to the Middle East, which all constitute an indivisible whole. Egypt stresses that following up on the implementation of Resolution 2231 is not a matter that only concerns the participants in the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. All member states at the Security Council and the UN, particularly the countries of the Middle East, have a stake in ensuring the proper and full implementation of this resolution, considering that this resolution has become part of the UN mechanism concerned with the establishment of peace and security in the region. While Egypt takes note of what the report reflects as regards the continued ability of the International Atomic Energy Agency to verify the non-diversion of declared nuclear material from peaceful nuclear activities, my delegation reiterates the need for Iran's policies to be coherent and consistent with the letter and spirit of the aforementioned resolution in all the other areas covered therein, including in Annex B. We call on Iran to work towards confidence building and to immediately cease any activities that can destabilize and fuel sectarian divides in a number of Arab states. The contents of the Secretary General's report as regards violations by Iran, some of which are confirmed while others are still under investigation, of multiple Security Council resolutions, such as Resolutions 2231 and 2140, represent the most compelling evidence of the need for the Council to intensify its efforts to follow up on this information and to fulfill its responsibilities in addressing those violations without delay in order to preserve regional and international peace and security. Egypt would like to express its particular concern over the information and evidence connected with Iran's supply of weapons and missiles to militias, encouraging them to use those weapons to target neighboring countries. In violation of Security Council resolutions, UN principles, and the most basic rules of good neighborliness. Another disconcerting element noted in the report is Iran's defiance of other sanctions related to travel ban and asset freeze. In this context, Egypt calls for completing as soon as possible the investigations conducted by the Secretariat to verify whether the missiles that have targeted the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia by Houthis in Iran or in Yemen are of Iranian origin. Egypt also supports the implementation of the important recommendations contained in the Secretary General report so that the Security Council and other UN organs can assume their responsibilities, including by considering measures that could supplement the nuclear agreement and reducing Iran's threat to regional and international peace and security and its interference in the affairs of neighboring states in the Middle East. The Middle East is already one of the regions most affected by violence and instability in the world. Hence, the need for exerting all possible efforts to prevent further deterioration. In this regard, we would also like to emphasize that maintaining the nuclear agreement should not in any way imply turning a blind eye to any violations of the Security Council resolutions or actions that threaten peace and security. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Egypt for his statement. I give the floor to the representative of Uruguay.
Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, President. I would like to thank the Under Secretary General for Political Affairs, Mr. Jeffrey Feltman, for the presentation of the Secretary General's fourth report on the implementation of Resolution 2231. Likewise, I wish to thank the Chargé d'Affaires ad interim from the Delegation of the European Union to the United Nations, Ms. Joanne Andemsen, and the Ambassador and Permanent Representative of Italy to the United Nations, Ambassador Sebastiano Cardi, for their respective presentations on, for their respective briefings this morning. And Ambassador Cardi, of course, speaking in his capacity as facilitator of the 2231 process. President, as has been the case on previous such occasions, the information provided to us in this report includes some positive elements that should be duly acknowledged, as well as detailing several challenges and various issues of concern. Uruguay is a staunch supporter of non-proliferation and a committed proponent of the disarmament regime, a characteristic of my country which I'm sure will not have been lost on you over the last 2 years of our service in the Security Council. As is well known, but there's no harm in repeating the point, I believe, Uruguay has never possessed, nor does it ever intend to possess, nuclear weapons. We proudly call home the world's first ever nuclear weapons-free zone, thanks to the Tlatelolco Treaty, which this year marked its 50th anniversary. And we are also members of the Organization for the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons in Latin America and the Caribbean, OPANAL, which brings together under its umbrella the 33 states of the region who are signatories to the aforementioned Tlatelolco Treaty. We are also party to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Having thus set out my stall, I can tell you that Uruguay welcomes, in a spirit of optimism, the signature of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action that took place on the 14th of July 2015 between Iran and the countries of the P5 plus Germany, an agreement pertaining to the Iranian nuclear program. In the view of my country, this agreement constituted a milestone and a definitive win for the doctrine of non-proliferation. Said agreement also makes a major contribution to international peace, security and stability, as well as diffusing one of the main flashpoints of tension in the already turbulent Middle East region. This agreement demonstrates, perhaps more convincingly than any other agreement forged over the last several years, that with political will and determination and strict adherence to the path of diplomacy and negotiation, it is possible to achieve positive results, even in those cases where a priori such aspirations seem far from our grasp. Uruguay is delighted by the progress achieved in the implementation of the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or JCPOA, and we are also very pleased by the way in which the IAEA's verification and monitoring responsibilities have been undertaken in Iran. The 9 successive quarterly reports from the IAEA on this topic confirm that the Islamic Republic of Iran has to date complied with the provisions of the agreement. In a similar vein, it is essential that all parties to the agreement comply with all of its provisions, as well as the provisions contained in Resolution 2231, including Annexes A and B of said resolution. We note with concern the reports included in the report on possible violations by Iran of some of the provisions of Annex B of Resolution 2231. Any ballistic missile activity pursued by Iran has the potential to inflame tensions in the region, for which reason we call upon the authorities of Iran to exercise to the highest degree possible prudence in their actions. On the fourth report of the Secretary General, we reiterate our view that it would be helpful, if not downright necessary, for in future reports, in addition to the detailed analysis of Iran's compliance with Annex B of Resolution 2231, we also include information pertaining to Annex A, which should not be treated as of secondary worth, as it contains the very JCPOA itself and the commitments that all parties to the agreement have signed up to, including the lifting of sanctions imposed on Iran. To conclude, President, Uruguay continues to urge all the parties to the agreement to adopt all necessary measures as stipulated in Resolution 2231 and to comply to the letter with the provisions of said resolution in order to avoid jeopardizing the historic agreement achieved in 2015, itself the fruit of 2 years of very intense negotiations. By the same token, we urge parties to act with the highest possible degree of moderation and caution and to desist from any action that violates the agreement, as said agreement having been later endorsed by the Security Council and enjoying that legitimacy. The report of the Secretary General is very explicit with regard to the fact that executive and legislative acts at the domestic level by parties to the agreement shall not detract from the validity of the plan nor the commitments incumbent upon participants as detailed in said plan. We regret that such measures are sowing uncertainty over the future of this agreement. Given its importance and the way it has functioned smoothly and effectively thus far, the agreement should be protected and defended as a success story by the entire international community. The Security Council, as the guarantor of international peace and security, must be forward-looking and proactive in ensuring full compliance with the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action and with Resolution 2231. Thank you very much, President.
Thank the representative of Uruguay for his statement. Now I give the floor to the representative of France.
Monsieur le Président.
Mr. President, please allow me to first of all thank the Japanese presidency for calling this meeting. I would like to thank the Undersecretary General, Jeff Feldman, and the representative of the European Union. I thank them for their very edifying briefings. I would like to express our very special thanks to the Italian facilitator and to his team, and I would like here to very warmly applaud the work they've been doing. Mr. President, for years this Council has been working together with the international community in order to build a collective security system and to make sure that it's robust and lasting. At the heart of this system is a current non-proliferation architecture, and every single one of us contributed to consolidating this architecture. It's based to date on very solid international instruments to which we're all greatly attached, and amongst which the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty is a cornerstone of that structure. The nuclear agreement concluded with Iran on the 14th July 2015 in Vienna is part of this framework and is there to strengthen it. The Global Joint Comprehension Plan of Action entered into force about 2 years ago. Through its adoption, through the endorsement it was given by the Council in its Resolution 2231, we have provided a robust reaction to a major proliferation crisis. It guarantees for more than 10 years that the Iranian nuclear program is not will not be diverted for military ends. This is a key step for our international non-proliferation efforts as well as for international peace and security. The JCPOA is today very well anchored, and the decision of the United States not to certify as provided by their legislation does not change the situation. The JCPOA remains there and has to be implemented in fully and comprehensively. This decision nonetheless created an alarming uncertainty, as is mentioned in the report of the Secretary General. All of the parties to the agreement have to abide by it, and this is in the interest of the international community, which has other proliferation crises to tackle, and also because respecting the commitments freely undertaken is a cardinal element of within international relations. Mr. President, the JCPOA and the Resolution 2231 are very closely linked. And in this context, France welcomes the report, which is very solid and balanced, issued by the Secretary General on the implementation of the resolution. The continued monitoring of Iranian commitments undertaken under this resolution is essential in order to enable the international community to follow the situation with all the attention that it deserves. France participated with vigilance in the negotiations so as to end up with a robust agreement on the Iranian nuclear issue and endorsed in Resolution 2231. We have expressed on many an occasion its deep attachment to the text and to their full and effective implementation of it by all the parties. We've had an opportunity to recall this. This was done by President Macron together with the British Prime Minister and the German Chancellor last October. Iran did not violate the commitments it undertook in the nuclear area under JCPOA. I note that the International Atomic Energy Agency and its report published on the 30th November last did not register any violations of Iran in the nuclear area during the verification period. France support is in full support of the work in monitoring and verification, remarkable work carried out by the IAEA. We also congratulate them on the information they provided on how well the procurement channel is functioning. But let's be clear, the commitments undertaken more than 2 years ago are not limited to the JCPOA in terms of framework, nor to the nuclear in terms of substance. It would be a mistake to denounce it, but it also would be irresponsible to continue with a selective implementation of the provisions in the resolutions endorsed. Iran has to abide by all of the commitments we have in Resolution 2231. It itself undertook to implement them. And the long list of information we have in the report of the Secretary General on the non-compliance, continued non-compliance of Iran as regards several of its important provisions is something that gives rise to very serious concern on our part. Mr. President, I would like to first mention the fact that Iran continues with its ballistic missile program and that to its transfer of ballistic missile capacities in the region. This is a source of growing concern for my country because this contributes towards the destabilization of the region and threatens the security interests of countries in the region. The firings and the recent testing of missiles which are developed to be capable of carrying nuclear weapons, such as, for example, what happened on the 18th June and the 4th of July, as well as the space launch on the 27th of July, are not in line with the Resolution 2231. Let's not make a mistake here. Here we're talking about a vehicle whose technical parameters correspond to the parameters of a missile which can carry nuclear weapons, which Iran undertook not to develop. These activities have to cease. This is a matter of regional stability and international security. On the allegations of the transfer of ballistic technologies to the Houthis in Yemen, it's important that the relevant information be rigorously reviewed by the Secretariat. And France supports in this regard having a joint meeting with the Sanctions Committee on Yemen. We also remain very concerned by the implications of weapons seizures whose origin or destination to Iran is either suspected or is well established. This was either reported or confirmed by the Secretariat. Such transfers are violations of Resolution 2231, and they feed the defiance within a regional context which is sensitive. And lastly, we are also equally concerned by the information having to do with the travels abroad of General Soleimani, when he is still under the travel ban. All member states of the United Nations have to act in conformity with their commitments, in particular when it comes to asset seizures and travel bans. Mr. President, this Council regularly comes upon North Korean and Syrian issues, and there we see the immensity and the gravity of the issue of weapons of mass destruction proliferation. And the Iranian case confirms that the determination of international community, when it's articulated in a way which is multilateral, pragmatic, and realistic, can open up pathways to solutions. They are certain to last if, similar to other instruments I mentioned earlier, there is a good faith and collective commitment to a strict implementation of the agreed provisions. Please be assured of the commitment of France in this regard. I thank you.
I thank the representative of France for his statement.
You're listening to Weekday World from CPR, Community Public Radio. I'm your host, Don DeBar.